Hi there, everybody. My name is John Malun. I'm a member of Shofar Christian Church in Stellenbosch. And it's a real privilege just to share a few ideas with you as part of the financial wellness course. And I'll be dealing with the topic medical aids and insurance. And in some ways, we called this last year, is it a tool or is it a toy? I hope that by the end of it, you'll be able to make a decision as to what your approach will be regarding these two very important things. So in the first slide, I want you to think of your response to two possibilities, and you can rate them in your mind by saying, I couldn't care about them, or you can say, I'm really actually very concerned about them. So the three situations are: you suddenly diagnosed with a rare disease, or your house burns down, or thirdly, you're involved in a very bad accident and you lose mobility and you have to be in a wheelchair. If I were dealing with you face to face, I'd give a bit of chance for you to think, to talk with each other, and then to share a few ideas. So now I'm going to just let you think about them and for 20 seconds not say anything. Not sure if that's been 20 seconds, but it's, I hope, given you some time just to ponder how you would respond now to the reality that those things are possibilities. The risks of disease and disaster and accidents are real to our lives. While we have to take cognizance of these and other risks, we cannot live in fear of them. The assurance Jesus gives us in John 16, verse 33, is especially pertinent. He says, the first part of the verse I don't quote, but the second part reads, "In the world you will have tribulation, but fear not, I have overcome the world." Those are such powerful, powerful words, that the systems of the world, the evil, the unexplained, the fear, the chance element to life that we think we are subject to, are actually not pertinent at all. We're not subject to them. We live in the love of Jesus Christ. And so we don't have to live with fear. But the reality is, these things that we mentioned in the first slide are real possibilities. And so let's look at some of the ways we can deal with those real possibilities. In slide three, I talk briefly about, and this is just a broad definition of insurance. An insurance is a contract with a life insurance company, which is a commercial entity. In other words, it's there to make sure it generates a profit for its shareholders. That's what the commercial entity component implies. And that contract with that life insurance company indicates, in the event of a defined condition, what will happen. A medical aid, on the other hand, is also sometimes called medical insurance, and it's a contract with a medical aid fund, which is a legal entity and not necessarily a commercial entity. They aren't there to make profit, but they are there to make sure that they stay solvent, that their assets and liabilities match, and it's to assist you in terms of illness. So both insurance and medical aid help you to respond in the event of, wahona, something has happened. And if we just look a little bit more at insurance, then one would say that any asset that you have or any risk that you face, you may want to insure, and which an insurer, if they will cover, then becomes the essence of a contract. And so one of the things that there are five examples in this particular slide, you could insure your life. You can insure your loss of income, very pertinent at the moment in COVID. If a contract was applicable between you and insurer, protecting you for a loss of income, then you might have been able to invoke that, obviously, depends on detail. You might also insure body parts. I know that sounds funny, but for a musician, for an artist, for a sculptor, their fingers become their means of generating income. And if they lose their fingers through an accident, they've lost their means of applying their trade. So people do that. And then any general asset, such as your home, its contents, your car, perhaps a musical instrument, is something that you want to insure. If you do insure an asset like that or insure a risk, your cost becomes a premium, which is an amount of money that you contract to pay to the insurance company, and if you do so regularly, that asset remains insured. If you don't pay, obviously the contract becomes null and void. What you also need to understand is the matter of what is called the insurable value, because we live in an inflationary environment and prices don't say the same. And a pertinent example is a car, which most people would regard as one of the first things they start considering buying once they start earning an income. You'll pay X for it, let's say 150,000 Rand, but after using it for a year, if you were to resell it, the value would be considerably less, perhaps 20% less. I'm just using that as an arbitrary number. You might sell it for, say, 120,000. And so even if you have insured it for 150,000, the insurance company, and you write it off 2 years later, isn't going to give you 150,000 for it. So understand the insurable value, particularly in assets which decline in value, like a motor car. And the only advice I really can give you is read the small print and ask many questions. It really is important. That's all I've said or am planning to say about insurance. And on then to medical aids, which I'll cover in a little bit more detail. A medical aid fund creates the possibility of an agreement between you as a member and the fund. I think it's really important to say up front that medical aids really battle with fraudulent claims, and a fund can only be successful if its members are honest. If people submit claims in order to get money, but actually the claim was invalid because what they claim was problematic, I had an accident and my arm was broken, and somehow they get that confirmed by a doctor, submit all the documents, they all look fine, and they get the money for it, well, that's fraudulent. A fund is undermined, is reduced in value, becomes really problematic for all of its members if one or two members do that. And so we need to remember that when we're in a fund like a medical aid fund, honest dealings with the fund are critical. A fund normally offers quite a variety of packages which suit different life stages of members. And so if we were to look at the next slide, what we see there is that, as with pension fund investing, you have choices to make, and you need to be diligent because the choices imply that you don't have to only buy X. You can buy X or Y or Z or whatever other number you choose. You can also become a member of a fund through the role of a broker who's a third party who would help to interpret some of the information for you and recommend a provider. Remember that medical aids don't cover every eventuality in life. It becomes impossible for a fund to operate commercially and stay solvent by simply saying, well, I can hand out money all the time for sneezes and coughs and etc. It is a regulated process and one has to be conscious of it. Medical aid benefits mostly consist of different categories of benefits, which we'll get to in a moment, and each category has an offering, which is a benefit, and a price associated with that. In the slide following, it's really an extension of the previous point that in medical aids, you very often are given options or plans. You may be able to buy just the one of lowest value, will probably be a hospital plan, which assists you in the event that you have to be hospitalized for injury or for an operation or whatever the case is. And then right on the other extreme will be a plan which is a lot more expensive, which gives you far more comprehensive cover. And I think the point that I can really just mention is that there's one extreme and another extreme, and you need to really apply your mind to what is pertinent. I'm going to now go into a section that might be a little bit unexpected, but for me, it helps to illustrate the value of medical aids, and I hope it actually assists you in dealing with this question about should I have one. It was about a year ago, in fact, when I was doing this very same presentation, that I told people I'd been diagnosed with lung cancer. As a result of that, I was a member of Old Mutual Staff Medical Aid Fund, and because I was employed by Old Mutual and I could rely on the fund to assist me substantially in the whole process of dealing with disease I've been living with for a year. Any fund requires an oncologist, the person who treats somebody with cancer, to register the case, and I had to do so, and I was amazed to find out that the value of the benefit I was offered for a year was 600,000 rand as a result of the registration of the oncology case. As I went through that particular amount, though, I started realizing that that full 600,000 rand isn't available just for everything. The amount has different sublimits of different types of treatment that take place that one has to be aware of. In the particular cancer I was blessed to have a diagnosis done that indicated that one's genes, when you have cancer in your body, respond to the cancer and they mutate, they change. And that mutation is tested, and in order to best treat the particular cancer that you have, they actually do an analysis of what the genes are. And I have a particular situation in my body, which only about 10 or 15% of people have, that I can get certain targeted treatments for the cancer I have, which are tablets, which have very little side effect, but cost a substantial amount. In fact, I mentioned right at the bottom that the cost per month is about 28,000 rand, and I assumed that with the benefit being in the order of 600,000 rand, that I would have sufficient from the fund to be able to pay for the medication for the full year. What happened, though, was a bit of a surprise in December last year when I got a call to say that, just bear in mind, Mr. Balan, you only have 195,000 for that medication, and that was a sublimit in the overall benefit. And really the point that I'm making here is when you read small print and ask questions, you are meant to uncover this sort of information, which I didn't at the time. However, let me just also point out that costs of visits to the oncologist, quarterly scans, blood tests, and other ad hoc procedures were all covered by the fund. Excuse me. What I want to do now is just to give you a brief rundown of some of the analysis I did in order to work out what plan I needed for this next 12-month period. Excuse me. And this, I hope, will help you too to understand some of the type of work you need to work through when you decide to join a medical aid fund, when you decide what sort of plans and benefits you need to buy from them. My situation was that I had bought, as I told you, in the order of 600,000 rand. In determining the plan that I want to have for the next 12 months, starting 1 July, in about a week's time, I did the following assessment. I had bought 600,000 rand, but the medical aid told me when I contacted them that the value which I had used was in the order of 350,000 rand. So I had bought probably about 250,000 rand's worth of benefits more than what I needed to buy. These benefits were primarily for the use of anything one needs to have done for you while you are treated. And in the assessment that I made, there were two plans I could be a member of. Both of them had the specialized drug benefit, which has now been adjusted for inflation to 204,000 rand. But the one has 635,000 rand. That plan one is what I was on this year. Plan two, the alternative, which I'll be on, which I could be on for next year, has a total benefit of slightly less, but still sufficient for what I had needed for the current year. And the cost of membership, you'll see, under Plan 1 is 7,500 per month for myself and my wife, whereas for Plan 2, the cost of membership is 4,800. So there's a savings in the order of about 32,000 Rand per year by making a change of plan. So what I needed to do was to say, okay, if I change plan, is my costs associated with the treatment for cancer going to be covered? That was the first thing. The other thing I needed to ask was, well, what do I get on the higher plan that I won't get on the lower plan. Because obviously, the higher the plan, the more benefits that you get and the more services the fund pays for. And so in the analysis, I went through, and this is on the next slide, where you'll see that I could claim an extra 8,686 Rand for day-to-day benefits. Day-to-day benefits are typically visit to doctors, going to the chemist, and getting something which the fund will refund you for. So on the one hand, the cost was 32,000 Rand. The benefit of day-to-day benefits was 8,600 Rand. Would I use 8,600 Rand? I definitely would. What would the other benefits I could get? Well, if I had specialized radiology, or my wife did, and that's like CT scans or MRI scans, I could get in the order of about 3,400 Rand more. I could get hearing aids, which I happen to wear, but I've had them serviced. I could get 18,000 Rand. Dental implants, medical appliances, etc., and refractive procedures give you an indication of the value that I could get from the cost of 34,000 Rand. And in addition, there's also hospitalization benefits, which is the hospital plan component of the fund, which plan one gave me X value for, and plan two, which I was considering, was 250,000 Rand less. What I've done is to get through quite a lot of detail, which I hope illustrates to you the fact that medical aids are flexible, that they quantify benefits in different forms that you have to assess as to your need of, and then decide what you're going to be purchasing. And that's really what I did, and I hope that the exercise was of value as I worked through it. I don't want to just simply end at that point, and I just want to second to last say that cancer is not something I wish for anybody, but having been on this journey for 12 months, I can really just confirm how good God has been to me. He promises to be close to those who suffer, and that's certainly been my experience. There are challenges and there are difficult times, but I can honestly say that cancer is not worth fearing. The reality and the very deep part of our faith says that when we believe in Jesus, what we are believing is that he overcame death. And death is the worst that cancer can bring. And because death has no power, because Jesus rose from the dead, why should I fear cancer? And that doesn't mean that I'm always just, that I always look like this. Sometimes there are difficult times. But I can tell you honestly that there's no fear in death because of Jesus' resurrection. And lastly, regarding cancer, there are so many amazing ways today that I'm so blessed to be part of that are available to treat cancer. Ultimately, however, however the future works out for each of us, God is our healer and not the treatments that come through wonderful professional doctors and other people. And it is to God that we commit our lives and all of our future when we follow him. And in closing, I would want to say, in respect to insurance and medical aids or a hospital plan, that they are important ways for us to manage some of the risks of being alive. Understand, though, that we can't de-risk our entire lives. We can't remove risk from life. It's part of what we face every day. It's part of the wonder of life that we have minds that can assess risks, ask questions, and make decisions. Some of you may be questioning these products. Must I really take out insurance? Or shouldn't I just trust God? And you know, in that sense, I would say in answer to that particular question, we need to consider life's risks and our responsibilities and use our minds to make decisions in faith. You know, it's only in human beings that God created the ability to make moral decisions and to make decisions based on the evaluation of criteria. I think everything else he created responds to instinct, but not us. I don't believe God would ever override our minds and take away what is the essence of, I think, his character in us, is this ability to make a decision. And so, as you consider insurance and medical aids, do so in faith. Ask God to guide you, and then make your decision. If you ask him to guide you, believe he will, and make your decision. That's how we should make decisions, confident of God's help. And so, of far more importance than deciding yay or nay in respect to these is that our faith leads us to worship God, who is worthy of all that we can offer him. Thank you, and enjoy the rest of your course.